It has been over a week since Iran imposed a complete internet blackout, keeping most of its 90 million people cut off from the outside world. Human rights activists say the death toll from the government crackdown has risen to more than 3,000, and a leading Iranian cleric called today for the execution of prisoners. But today, President Trump thanked the Iranian regime for not executing what he said were hundreds of political prisoners who were facing the death penalty.
Iran canceled the hanging of over 800 people. They were going to hang over 800 people yesterday, and I greatly respect the fact that they canceled them.
And the crown prince in exile, Reza Pahlavi, held a press briefing in Washington today and urged U.S. military intervention.
What will hurt the regime most? By dismantling its apparatus of state terror and repression. A lot of it are the regime's military paramilitary assets, mostly IRGC targets. So I'm calling for a surgical strike on those means.
To help us understand the events in Iran, we turn now to Abbas Milani, Director of Iranian Studies at Stanford University, and Ray Take, Senior Fellow for Middle East Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, specializing in Iran and U.S. foreign policy. Thank you both for being here. Ray, we'll start with you. Was the regime in Iran ever truly on the brink of collapse? And if not, what conditions need to exist for that to happen?
When it comes to the Iranian regime collapsing, we seem to oscillate between inevitable and unthinkable. The regime certainly experienced significant stress in terms of popular uprisings that it experienced throughout the country. That comes at a time of foreign intervention that it was fearful of, and of course, depletion of its economic resources. However, I do believe that the regime has sufficient resources to get through this particular phase of protests and gain control of the streets. Now, if these demonstrations persist, then that is likely to tax its resources in a more significant way.
Abbas, a question about these protests and demonstrations. I know you've been able to reach a few people there despite the blackout. In simple terms, have the protests been extinguished or have they just been pushed underground?
I think they have been pushed into temporary silence. I don't think they have been extinguished. If you look at the 45-year history of this regime, you see these cycles of resistance, repression, and then the reemergence of the resistance, because these problems are structural. The regime is incapable of solving them. People become increasingly frustrated, and people become increasingly emboldened, particularly, for example, by women who have shown that if you are fierce, if you are in numbers strong enough, you can force the regime to back down. So I doubt that this will be an end. But I think right now, clearly, by killing the thousands, and I think the number will go higher than the 3,500, they have forced people to retreat back to their homes.
And Ray, here in Washington, there was talk of possible military action and then a clear step back. Based on what you know to be true, what happened?
Perhaps a number of things. The president was under a lot of pressure from the regional allies, who did not want military action and potentially expansion of this conflict and destabilizing the region, particularly their economy. The Iranian regime began to maintain guarded control of the streets, and therefore possibility of a military action significantly tipping the balance one way or the other may have been in question. And also, the president declared victory. He said executions have stopped, and therefore he doesn't need to abide by his own established red lines. I would say in 2013, when President Obama established a red line that he did not adhere to, he was criticized roundly by many people, including President Trump. But President Trump's not a conventional politician, and he can do things that perhaps others can't.
Abbas, how damaging was it, if at all, for President Trump to say that help is coming and then not act?
I think it was disheartening. I think many people took his promise seriously. They thought that he would certainly come to the help of the people. He even invited people to take over government buildings, which was even more than inviting them to come to the streets. So I think knowing how President Trump operates, I would be surprised if he doesn't show some kind of a response. But as Ray indicated, he has found a way to indicate that maybe his red line wasn't shut down. But we know, actually, in the last 24 hours, the regime has hung at least 50-odd number of people. They claim they're criminals. But we have to remember, this regime has killed 4,000 people almost in secret in 1989. So the fact that this regime says, I will not kill, does not mean it will not kill. It might kill in secret. The world has to know the kind of regime we are facing with.
What leverage does the U.S. have that doesn't involve military force, be it sanctions, diplomacy, regional pressure, leverage that actually matters to this regime?
I'm not sure how much more Iranian economy can be sanctioned. It's already sequestered from the global economy. It does sell its oil on discount to the Chinese, so perhaps interdiction of its oil supplies and sort of things happening in Venezuela can put some kind of a pressure on it. In terms of diplomatic ostracism, They don't seem to care that much about it. They have lost the global opinion, just to say. They don't have regional allies. The regime is under considerable degree of press, for pressure, but I'm not quite sure if economic sanctions, and particularly individual designations, are going to do much at this particular stage. The economy is already prostrate, and I'm not sure how much more that can be done.
Abbas, as you well know, historically, regimes fall when elites or security forces defect. At this point, do you see any signs of cracks within the IRGC?
I see no crack within the IRGC except occasional comments by past commanders of the IRGC who indicate that the status quo is untenable. I do see cracks within the regime in the sense that there are many people within the regime who sometimes even talk on Iranian media, who say Mr. Khamenei's path is untenable, the status quo is untenable. And I just want to say that the notion that this regime has been sanctioned is partly true. Last year, the indications are from the government's own account that they sold almost $60 billion of oil in black markets. So they have the benefit of telling the Iranian people that this is a sanctioned regime, but using all kinds of very sophisticated techniques, they have been able to sell that money and with that keep their apparatus of oppression oiled. Economic pressure on this regime, freezing their assets, freezing their activities, diplomatic activities around the world, I think is the biggest leverage that the international community has against this regime. They have to understand that you cannot kill your way out of these demonstrations. You haven't been able to kill it out of past demonstrations. Every killing spree has begotten larger demonstrations and has forced the regime to more brutality. This is arguably the bloodiest suppression in a very bloody, sordid 44-year history.
Ray, what specific signs should we watch for in the coming weeks, whether it's inside the security forces, in the economy, or the clerical establishment, that would signal that there is a shift underway?
The challenge for the opposition is persistence. People say it has to have a structure and leadership. It doesn't need those at this point. It has to have persistence and ability to come to the streets. And should it do so, those leaders and structures will emerge. And the longer this goes, then you're going to see greater cracks within the regime and greater defections within the armed forces. If this actually spreads throughout the region, encompassing throughout Iran, then the regime will have to bring in armed forces because the Revolutionary Guards and Basij forces are not sufficient in terms of manpower if this is large and diffuse. Then they're going to have to rely on conscripts to go into the neighborhood and shanty towns that are culturally familiar to them and engage in repression. They don't want to do that because they recognize how risky it is. I didn't expect the Revolutionary Guards to break today, but over a period of time, if the opposition managed to persist, then they have a chance. As Professor Malani suggested, the problem with the Iranian opposition has been is episodic. There's an eruption, and everybody goes home. There's an eruption, so the regime has managed to gain strength again. If the 3,000 death figures are true, and they're quite possibly discounted, as Dr. Malani indicated, that is more people that died in 78-79 revolution. So this is the level of scale of violence that we see, which is almost unprecedented in Iranian history.
Ray Takeh, Abbas Malani, thank you both for your insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.